You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show on Indy's Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, always joined by me are my co-hosts, the one, the only, the biggest Purdue fan I know, Garrett Burkle.
Good morning.
Hey, how's it feel to get that win against Illinois this Saturday, bud?
It's pretty nice, you know, go 2-2 on the year. I still don't know how we're going to do the rest of the season, but it was a nice change to see us finally get a win at home.
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Last but not least, I am joined by my co-host on the Country Time Podcast. If you guys aren't listening to that show, you should guys go to audioboom.com and check that out. I'm just kidding. But for real, if you guys are not listening to that podcast, fantastic podcast Jeremiah and I do, covering country music stars, you know, rock and roll country superstars that, you know, revolutionized country music and rock and roll. But if you're not, go check that out. I mean, our last episode was the one and only, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. But Jeremiah, how are you doing this morning, buddy?
Doing all right. I could have a little bit more coffee, but I didn't have time to make any.
Hey, I'll bring that energy for you, buddy. You don't need no coffee. I got you, Eddie.
Try to get some osmosis in here.
Yeah. Well, let's go over the NASCAR Cup Series. Wow, what an eventful race from Talladega Super Speedway. I mean, it is called Talladega Super Speedway, after all.
First off, several wrecks.
Oh, yeah.
Were fun to watch.
Yeah.
Always.
Great. I mean, there was like over 60 lead changes, mm-hmm. which that's the most since 2011, which there was like over 70. So, I mean, those are some positives to take away from the NASCAR Cup Series race at Talladega and this next-gen car that a lot of people, a lot of fans and a lot of the drivers and teams have not really liked this new car. So, I mean, there's positives you could take away from that. But Ryan Blaney. Sorry, Jeremiah, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yeah, plus the use of restrictor plates on this one, and it's such a big, you know, racetrack.
Yeah.
It had four wide several times, is, if you don't know, not ideal for Talladega.
No.
It's an almost guaranteed wreck.
Not whatsoever. You can go three wide. I don't know if you can go four wide, but Well, Ryan Blaney picks up his third career win at Talladega Super Speedway. He really knows how to get it done at Talladega.
Where's he from?
Where's he from?
Yeah.
North Carolina. He's from North Carolina.
That's odd.
He really knows how to get it done at Talladega. I mean, always, you know, they're at the end at these restrictor plate races, and every finish he's had at Talladega Super Speedway have been really, really, really close.
Yeah, this one was way, way close.
He edged out Kevin Harvick by 0.012 seconds.
Literally a thousandth of a second.
Yeah.
He wins.
Yeah. But, I mean, late in that race, Kevin Harvick was leading. I mean, lead was, you know, switching back and forth between Blaney and Harvick. And, you know, Harvick went to make a late block on Blaney. Blaney had the momentum from the push from Riley Hurst, which I want to give a shout-out to Riley Hurst. What a fantastic job he did for Front Row Motorsports. Not getting a lot of Cup Series starts this season, but he made the most of it at Talladega. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was really competitive the whole day, led some laps. I mean, what else, you know, do you want from a kid that is, you know, been through ups and downs with the NASCAR Xfinity Series, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, and now he's really getting his shot in the NASCAR Cup Series. I mean, brings the sponsorship from Monster Energy. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I even criticized him because, oh, he's in Stuart Haas Racing Equipment because he brings sponsorship, Monster Energy. Well, yeah, that is true. That's very true and valid, but
I mean, that's also kind of the point sometimes.
But he even with that sponsorship, I mean, he did a fantastic job in that Cup car yesterday. So just want to give a shout to Riley Herbst as he did crash out on the final lap. Yeah. But, I mean, just a great job from the kid. And, you know, maybe one day we'll see him in some NASCAR Cup Series equipment. But, you know, you look at Jimmy Johnson, he wasn't great in Xfinity Series equipment. I mean, he wasn't hardly successful. He gets to do a cup car and everything changes.
Yeah.
So it's like you'll have those drivers that, you know, just
they're just meant for
they're
one
just
track.
Meant, they're just it's the certain car, like a certain chassis, certain build that they're a lot better at compared to another car, and that could be the same thing with Riley Hurst. We'll just have to wait and see if he gets a cup opportunity soon, but I think he'll be back in Xfinity Series for Stewart Haas Racing, but maybe he'll make some cup starts for Front Row Motorsports, which he definitely deserves after what a great race he did at Talladega. Just want to keep going on about the Ryan Blaney win. Well, he locks himself into the round of eight. So, you know, he went out one. Now he's going to go in the round of eight, and he doesn't have to worry about the Charlotte Roval, which is next weekend, which it's a very chaotic road course, but
yes, it is.
So you have Talladega Super Speedway, so a track that will break a driver's hopes for winning a championship, and then you go to the Charlotte Roval. So you have kind of two back-to-back tracks, so you have to be really careful, and you don't want to put a foot wrong, and just be aware that, you know, the whole point situation, which a couple of years ago, Kyle Larson barely advanced to the round of eight on one point.
Yeah, that was
which it came down to the Charlotte Roval. So, a lot of it's going to be a very interesting race weekend next weekend.
Most definitely.
I want to go over the top 10 from the NASCAR Cup Series race real quick. First, Ryan Blaney. Second, William Byron. Third, Denny Hamlin. Fourth, Corey LaJoie. Great result for Spire Motorsports. Fifth, Austin Cindric. The Indiana kid, Justin Haley, finishing sixth for Colleague Racing. Seventh, Chase Elliott. Eighth, Ricky Bobby. Yes, Ricky Bobby finished eighth. Ninth, Riley Herbst, and 10th, Daniel Suarez. I'm just kidding. It was Ryan Preece. But if you did not see that Wonder Bread machine leading laps at Talladega Super Speedway, that brought me so much nostalgia. I mean, it was Ricky Bobby up in the lead at Talladega Super Speedway. We'll go into that later.
Yeah, I was trying to find that movie for the longest time last night.
But I'd also like to mention that Kevin Harvick was disqualified from the race after Talladega. It was some unapproved adjustments on his mirror, some unapproved adjustments there. But unfortunately, he did not finish second at his last race and last restrictor plate race of his career at Talladega Super Speedway.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah. I'm going to go over playoff drivers who did a fantastic job at Talladega. Denny Hamlin, he had an early pit stop speeding penalty, and he was a lap down. And did you not see him through that race pushing Bubba Wallace? Like,
oh yeah.
And he was up. I mean, he was up at the front, yeah, trying to get his lap back, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, he was up there trying to get his lap back. And when he was able to get his lap back, I mean, he's won three Daytona 500s. He's one of the best on restrictor plates. Numerous wins at Talladega Super Speedway. He comes home and finishes third. That's a great point stay. I mean, definitely didn't want to have that speeding a penalty, but damage limitation there. So
I think if he had another lap, he might have been able to get first.
Yeah. Christopher Bell, he finished 14th, but he was involved in that early accident with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, and Ross Chastain. You know, got some damage, but I mean, he comes out of Talladega Super Speedway sitting 22 points above the elimination line. So, 14th place, I mean, you survived. You survived Talladega Super Speedway. Just be happy with that.
Just in that of itself, you survived. Everything's good.
Drivers that did not have great days. Ross Chastain, which we talked about that. He was involved in an accident and was the victim of this crash with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and the final lap of stage one, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. ran out of fuel and slowed down Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch right behind him drafting. And
Kyle Busch hits,
hits Chastain. Yeah, because he's behind him. And Chastain tries to make it four wide. And he gets clipped and hits the wall and ends up finishing in 37th place. And now
his whole freaking tire just.
So he leaves Talladega 11 points below the cut line. So he on Sunday he was sixth in the standings, 12 points above the elimination line. Now he is 10th leaving Talladega. So going to really need to have a great day at the Charlotte Roval. He's won. He's pretty good at road courses. First career win came at Circuit of the Americas last season for Trackhouse Racing. So we'll see what happens there. Brad Keselowski, he was basically just caught up in a wreck, and he couldn't really do much about that. He was just caught up in an accident, and it's unfortunate because, you know, he's really competitive all the time. When we come to these super speedway races, especially Ford in just general, where they're able to push compared to the Chevys and Toyotas because of their front end, their nose, it's easier to bump draft, and it's just easier to get momentum going. But he was collected in a wreck on lap 162, and going into the tri-oval, he was part of the Ty Gibbs and Austin Dillon wreck and Carson Hocevar, and he won the stage, adding 10 points to his total, but now he exits Talladega 8th in the standings, only 2 points above the elimination line, which Bubba Wallace is in 9th, and he had a great result. He's been really good in these playoffs, and you know, if Brad Keselowski has a bad day, Bubba Wallace will make it to the round of 8. I'm just going to go over some playoff drivers that didn't have great days whatsoever and just, you know, go over the playoff drivers in general, where they finished. You had William Byron, Denny Hamlin finishing 2nd and 3rd. You had, I'm going to keep looking here. You had Christopher Bell finish 14th. Kyle Larson finished 15th. 16th, Tyler Reddick. 18th, Martin Truex Jr. 19th, Chris Buescher. As I keep looking, 25th, Kyle Busch. And I'm going to keep Brad Keselowski 32nd, and 37th was Ross Chastain. So it was just one of those days for some of those playoff drivers. And on the other hand, it was a great day for some of the other playoff drivers. It's just one of those races that's hit or miss, and you kind of want to have lady luck on your side when you head to Talladega Speedway. Go over the playoff standings going into the elimination race of the round of 12 into the Charlotte Roval. First, William Byron. Second, Ryan Blaney. Third, Denny Hamlin. Fourth, Christopher Bell. Fifth, Chris Buescher. Sixth, Martin Truex Jr. Seventh, Kyle Larson. He really made a day. He was below the elimination line after Texas, and a lot of people doubt him going to Super Speedways because he's only finished, I believe, on one Super Speedway, he's finished inside the top 10 his entire career. And he salvaged a day, and now he is sitting 15 points above the cut line, which is a round of applause for Kyle Larson. Eighth, Brad Keselowski. He's plus 2 over the cut line, like I mentioned. Ninth, Tyler Reddick. He's minus 2. 10th, Bubba Wallace, minus 9. 11th, Ross Chastain, minus 10. And 12th is Kyle Busch, and I believe he's minus 20 or so. I didn't have that, but I know he's minus 20. So at least that's what he was before entering Talladega. So hopefully Kyle Busch and Rich Lewis Racing could get it together, and hopefully they can advance to the round of 8. I'd also like to see one of the 2311 cars, because Michael Jordan, 6-time NBA champion, is the owner of one of the part-time owners, or co-owners, I should say, of 2311 Racing. But I also like to mention Stuart Haas Racing. Their paint schemes for this Talladega race were absolutely fantastic. Ryan Preece rocking the Wonder Bread number 41 car. Throwback to Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. Yeah. Released in 2006 with Will Ferrell, of course. Will Ferrell. I mean, everyone knows who Will Ferrell is. And then you also had Chase Briscoe's number 14 Ford Mustang with the Old Spice, which in Talladega Nights was driven by Cal Naughton Jr. and is played by John C. Reilly, which, what a dynamic duo, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. I mean, if you have not watched Step Brothers, that is a hilarious movie.
Y'all are missing out if you ain't watched it.
That's a fantastic movie. But Chase Briscoe ended up finishing 13th. And Ryan Preece finished 8th. So, decent day for Stuart Haas Racing, the dynamic duo of Ricky Bobby and Cal Naughton Jr. So I'm telling you, Ricky Bobby was leading laps. He was leading laps at Talladega, and that was awesome. I was like, go, Ricky Bobby, go, Ricky Bobby.
They should have done like a final lap thing where it's just
them. Where they're just running. No, what happens is, no, the scene where everyone crashes and they're running like John Girard and Ricky Bobby.
I'm on fire.
Gosh. You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby. Gosh, I love that movie.
I just want to say, this is my first win. No, no, it's the technicality. But no, it can take it from me.
Well, more NASCAR Cup Series news. Sunday, October 8th at 2 o'clock p.m. You can watch this on NBC. The NASCAR Cup Series will go to the Charlotte Roval at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the elimination race of the round of 12. We're going to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Brett Moffitt winning at Talladega Super Speedway. He has won in every manufacturer of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Chevy, Ford, Toyota. He's done it all. And, man, I want to mention that Brett Moffitt, journeyman in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, and he's also a champion of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series in 2018. Like, I don't understand how this guy doesn't have a ride. I mean, sponsorship, I get that, but give him a ride. Front Row Motorsports in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series when Zane Smith leaves to go to Trackhouse Racing next season, race full-time in the NASCAR Cup Series. But It was a great day. It was a fantastic day for Front Row Motorsports and Brett Moffitt. I had faith, man, that Brett Moffitt was gonna go to Talladega Super Speedway, you know, and great equipment which Front Row Motorsports has, especially the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. I mean, championship equipment, championship driver in Zane Smith, and go out there and be competitive, going for the win. Finishing second was playoff driver Ben Rhodes. Great result for him. And it's just a great day for Thor Sport Racing. Great result for them. This is what Brett Moffitt had to say. It's pretty awesome. So the 31-year-old Moffitt, the 2018 series champion, this is NASCAR.com. I've notably struggled on the super speedways in the past and dreaded coming to them. But this was an all pressure off situation that Front Row gave me to go out there and try to help a teammate. Obviously that didn't work out for the group, but to come here and have a shot to a win and to do it is just amazing. Reminds me of the good old days, and I want to get back to doing this on a regular basis, so we'll see what happens. It's great. It's just awesome. It's just a great story for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and Brett Moffitt. He should be racing full-time in the NASCAR Craftsman Trucks. He's already mentioned that earlier, but he definitely needs to be. I'm going to go over some of the playoff drivers. Nick Sanchez, he finished inside the top 10, finishing 7th. He led 25 laps on the day until he received a pass-through penalty for laying back on a restart with 32 laps remaining. That set him back to the field. And then he made his way forward to finish 7th, and he would be involved in the final multi-truck accident that forced an overtime restart. He still finished 7th and earned 19 stage points, so great result for Nick Sanchez. But we'll get into some of the issues with Nick Sanchez later. GMS Racing driver Grant Enfinger was also among those playoff competitors caught up in multiple accidents on the afternoon. He finished 13th. Nice Motorsports' Carson Hosevar was 11th. Thor Sports' Ty Majeski was 21st. And then reigning series champion Zane Smith was involved in a pit road accident. And when he was coming down to pit road, he locked up the tire, spun out, and hit his tire carrier. And his tire carrier tried to jump over the truck and cause damage to his truck. So, not a great day for Zane Smith. It was a rough, rough day for Zane Smith. But I am going to go over the top 10 from the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race at Talladega Super Speedway. First, Brett Moffitt. Second, Ben Rhodes. Third, Dean Thompson. Great result for him. Tricon Motorsports. Fourth, Chandler Smith. 5th, Corey Hines. 6th, Daniel Dye. 7th, Nick Sanchez. 8th, Haley Deegan. Great result for her. 9th, Parker Clearman. And 10th, man, I'm not sure who this driver is, but his last name is Allen. So, great result for him, and that's great. Great job for him. I was also going to mention where Zane Smith ended up finishing 32nd. Not a great result for Zane Smith, reigning series champion. Also wanted to mention that Nick Sanchez and Matt Crafton were involved in a post-race altercation at Talladega, which I'm not going to go into any further details about that. Basically, they got into a fight. It was about the last big crash of the race on lap 93 when Nick Sanchez made contact with Matt Crafton, and it was going into the trioval. And a lot of trucks were involved in this crash. Sanchez contacted the left rear corner of Craftsman truck, tipping him into traffic and initiating the pileup. So they got into a fight, and I'm not going to go into more details about that. But you know, hopefully that this altercation doesn't, you know, go any further than it has at Talladega Super Speedway, and we just hope for the best between those guys.
Hope it's just one of those fights where it's just...
It's done. It's done. It's just...
All right, see you next race.
Yeah, it's exactly, you know. Stuart, this is also very concerning. Stuart Friesen, Greg Van Alst, Indiana native, were transported to a local hospital after the crash at Talladega.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So this was on lap 39. Stuart Friesen and championship contender Christian Eckes collided on entry to turn three on the 39th lap. Christian Eckes' right front fender tipping Friesen's truck into the left rear of the nose of Friesen's Toyota, bounced off the right side of Tyler Ankrum's trunk, sending both vehicles into the retaining safer barrier. But I do have good news that Stuart Friesen was released from the hospital yesterday at 12:25. Hold on. Nope. That's not it. But he was released from the hospital. He was treated, evaluated, and released from the hospital as of 12:25 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. So
that's good.
That's great. Great for Stuart Friesen. Greg Van Alst was collected in that big pile up on lap 93 with multiple trucks involved. He was also released from the hospital early Sunday morning as well. Indiana native, races in the ARCA Menards Series, and winner at Daytona for the season opener in the ARCA Menards Series. He was released and out of the hospital and is doing well. So great for those guys. I'm going to go over the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series playoffs. First, Corey Heim already advanced to the championship four at ISM Raceway. Second, Carson Hosevar, plus 23 over the cut line. Third, Christian Eckes, plus 9. And fourth, Nick Sanchez, plus 3. And below the cut line, entering Homestead, Miami. Fifth, Grant Enfinger, minus 3 for GMS Racing. Sixth, Ben Rhodes for Thor Sport Racing, minus 5. Ty Majeski, minus 19, and Zane Smith, minus 36 for Front Row Motorsports. If you're Zane Smith, you have to win. That's all I have to say. You have to go to Homestead, Miami, and win the race. You're in a must-win situation points-wise. And so I'd even put...
Non-debatable.
Yeah, non-debatable. Maybe not as much as Ty Majeski, almost minus 19. If someone wrecks, then he has a shot. But... I really hope that Ben Rhodes, really nice guy. I went and visited Thor Sports Racing Shop in Sandusky, Ohio. I tweeted out on Twitter, X, with only like 30 followers, and he, you know, sent a post back to me. What a nice guy, you know.
Nice.
I hope that, you know, I just have respect for people like that, drivers that, you know, reach out to their fans, and, you know, he was like, I'm sorry I wasn't able to meet you or be at the shop when you were there and get to know you and stuff like that. But that's just really cool. Hope for the best for Ben Rhodes, and hopefully the Louisville, Kentucky native can advance to the round of four for another shot at his second Craftsman Truck Series Championship at ISM Raceway.
Louisville.
Yeah. Garrett Burkle talking about Notre Dame. Here we go. Here we go. Saturday, October 21st at 12 o'clock p.m., you can catch the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series at Homestead Miami Speedway. You can watch this on Fox Sports 1 for the elimination race for the round of eight. Indianapolis Motor Speedway news with the NASCAR Cup Series returning back to the oval layout. Garrett, what are your thoughts on this, buddy? 30-year anniversary since the inaugural race on the oval and Jeff Gordon winning his first career NASCAR Cup Series race.
I'm excited about it. I think if fans really want it to return back to the oval, they have to start showing up. And I guess time will tell with, you know, how that ends up working out. But I think it was the right time. I mean, the road course had kind of run its course. I mean, you say that, but then the counter argument is that, you know, we had a lot of international talent finally come and try the Brickyard this calendar year in 2023, you know, with the international stars coming over to race in the NASCAR race. So I guess maybe you could say that, but again, for the 30th anniversary of this great race, I think it deserves to be on the oval. And again, hopefully the fans start showing out. I mean, to the event. So yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But if I'm in town, I mean, I'll go. Yeah,
yeah. Sure. Garrett Burkle, one of the hosts of the Playbook Radio Show,
sir,
and also past the rock and voice of the Ben Davis Giants. He really gets after getting those autographs from NASCAR drivers.
Not so much anymore.
What do you mean? You did good at the Indianapolis 500.
That's true, but ever since after the summer, I've cut down pretty heavy. So.
All I just have to say is this guy he gets after it. He really gets after it. I mean, you talked about getting up early in the mornings and going to practice and trying to get autographs. Like, dude, that's dedication.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt if he has a wall.
No, he has a wall. There's no doubt that he does. That he has a wall.
I've spent a good majority of my first 18 years on this earth collecting.
Exactly. Purdue.
So I don't know what it's all going to, now that I'm starting to move up, going to college, I'm like, crap, all this stuff going to go.
Little baby Burkle, just like holding out paper.
The first time I remember meeting anyone was 2006. Well, I don't really remember it, but I have photos of it. And my dad knew someone who worked with him, his son was on the Purdue football team. So I got to meet Coach Tiller before he passed away. And I remember the car ride up there very vividly because it was over Christmas break. So there's a lot of, I remember driving and it being like really bad out. You know, I remember driving with my dad in the car. And then we actually got there. And I mean, I don't remember anything after this, but just they filled in the blanks in the stories in the years following. Mm-hmm. But I basically got to meet Coach Tiller that day and they got to tour a little bit of the facilities. So, yeah, that was something that, you know, even 18 years back, I still remember it very fondly. But, again, it was a very cool memory, I'm sure.
I'm going to keep mentioning more news of the return of the NASCAR Cup Series to the famed oval of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. NASCAR Cup Series will race Sunday, July 21st. And the NASCAR Xfinity Series will race Saturday, July 20th. Not sure the times of when the races will occur, but those are the dates. The last time the NASCAR Cup Series raced the oval at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, my favorite driver in the NASCAR Cup Series currently racing, 2014 champion, 60 career wins in the NASCAR Cup Series, Kevin Harvick.
Won
in 2020, led a race high of 68 laps, and one of the most dominant seasons of Kevin Harvick's career in 2020 was his fourth win of 9 wins that season in 2020. Unfortunately, the playoff system, and he had bad luck towards the end of the playoffs, and he didn't win the 2020 championship, but he won a lot of races, and I guess that's, you know, it's a good season overall if you don't win the championship. I'd also like to mention that Kyle Busch has sold Kyle Busch Motorsports to Spire Motorsports. So, very interesting there. 100 career wins for that team, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Two truck championships with Eric Jones in 2015 and Christopher Bell in 2017. And also, Kyle Busch has won 48 of the 100 truck series wins for Kyle Busch Motorsports. But this is what Kyle Busch had to say about him selling his team and just other stuff about his team. So I'm going to go off with this. When we started the truck series team back in 2010, I never imagined that we would be able to win 100 races with 18 different drivers, and that one day I'd be racing in the Cup Series alongside so many of the drivers that I once mentored at KBM. It took countless hours by so many amazing people to make KBM the winningest team in truck series history. I will always appreciate everyone that walked through the doors and gave their all to make this such a successful organization. Also, he said, I'm at a different point in my life now than I was back in 2010. My family has grown. My Cup Series team changed this year, and our son's racing schedule has become as demanding as my own. It'll be hard to walk away from the amazing facility that we've built. I'll miss walking the shop floor, talking with our employees, hosting our fan days in the lobby, and spending countless hours there reassuring its success. However, I know at this point in my life and in my career that this is the correct decision. Wow. I can't believe Kyle Busch is going to sell Kyle Busch Motorsports to Spire Motorsports. But Spire Motorsports, they're just not out here just to race the NASCAR Cup Series. They really want to be championship contenders and win not just the NASCAR Cup Series, but in the Craftsman Truck Series, to build that young talent so they could have future success for their team in NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and NASCAR Cup Series, excuse me. But that's not just all for Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is still going to be involved in NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. He's going to be racing 5 starts for Spire Motorsports, and he's also going to be an asset at Spire Motorsports. Kyle Busch is going to be a future consultant of Spire, and while also continuing to run the 5 races he's eligible for in the series. So that is according to Racer.com and ESPN for those articles and information. But we're also going to talk about the NASCAR Xfinity Series real quick, then we're going to take a break, and we'll get right into it with Garrett Burkle and IndyCar news. And some Indianapolis Motor Speedway news as well over the weekend and week. But NASCAR Xfinity Series returns Saturday, October 7th at 3 o'clock p.m. Watch this on NBC at Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Roval, for the elimination race of the round of 12 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Well, we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Coming back, we'll have Garrett Burkle discuss IndyCar news, and we'll also dive into some USAC racing news. We don't really get to do that much here on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show, but it's just some great news for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It was a great week for open-wheel dirt racing. So we'll be right back after this 30-second break.
This conversation could save the life of a loved one.
Dad, so sorry.
Come here. Are you okay?
No.
You've seemed pretty down lately. Have you been thinking about taking your life?
Today, teens are at increased risk for experiencing anxiety and depression, and finding mental health support has become even more challenging. Get help at mylifeisworthliving.org/help and check out our YouTube channel for the first animated series about teen mental health.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. Yeah, my voice.
Stop stealing my voice, man.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show, folks. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me is the biggest Purdue fan I know, Garrett Burkle, and my co-host on the Country Time radio, Country Time podcast, Jeremiah Penrod. But I want to talk about some, you know, Garrett, there were some USAC racing for the Brian Clausen Memorial race. Brian Clausen, 39, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway's dirt track. There's some great news there for, you know, just to see USAC back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they put on a great four-day show. I think it was Thursday through Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. So again,
I love those midget dirt cars, man. They fly around the track, man.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, again, the BC39 is one of the biggest USAC events in the country. So again, it was a very good show for, you know, what they always do well at the Brickyard. But I think they put on a very good show this time as well too. And again, the fans showed up too. So it's a very good event for both sides.
Justin Grant is one of the best drivers in the USAC sprint cars and midget car divisions. Fantastic driver as well. Multiple championships in USAC. He ended up winning the Brian Clausen 39 feature race. And during that race, Thomas Mesrell on Thursday won the preliminary race for the BC 39. But going into turn number four and lap 39 of the race, Thomas Mesrell got a little too far up in the cushion and ended up hitting the wall. But it happens in dirt racing. You really want to see cars on the ragged edge, lap after lap after lap. That is USAC racing sprint cars and USAC midget cars racing. That is. You want to see cars on the edge, folks. You have it there. You've got it. You've got it. So congratulations to Justin Grant and RMS Racing. And also congratulations with Thomas Mesrell winning the preliminary races on Thursday. So, I mean, just it was a great week and weekend for RMS Racing. I'd also like to mention that Jesse Love is the youngest ARCA Menard Series champion in the history of the ARCA Menard Series. Youngest ever. Congratulations, Jesse Love. And just congratulations, Jesse Love. He did a fin. It was his 10th win of the season. Wow. 18 years old for Venturini Motorsports. Wow.
All right, you can breathe.
I know, dude. I'm yeah. But guys, 18 years old, right? 18 years old, and he wrapped up the championship at the one and only Salem Speedway in Salem, Indiana. Ooh. We have a lot of Indiana news regarding racing today's episode. So congratulations.
Although something I haven't heard much about recently is the Lucas Oil Speedway that we got right down the road.
Yeah. Not a lot of news coming from Lucas Oil Speedway. Lucas Oil Raceway, I should say. But Lucas Oil Speedway is in Missouri. Yeah. But yeah.
I live next to it, so I hear like the drag race is going on all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Not a lot of news from Lucas Oil Raceway at the moment. But congratulations to Jesse Love, youngest champion ever in the ARCA Menards Series. Picked up his 10th win at Salem Speedway. At the age of 18 years old. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, Garrett, I'm going to pass it over to you, buddy, with some IndyCar news. It's some scheduling, man. There was a track added to the IndyCar schedule that we might have hinted last episode of the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. What could that be, bud?
Yeah, so I will get to that, but first off, we'll go over the entire schedule. So in March, we have the March 10th race, the Streets of St. Pete. And then we have a new race added this year. It's March 24th, the Thermal Club, the Million Dollar Challenge, where the winner of that race will add $1 million. So, again, we should see it. I would hope at least we should see some, you know, off some brand series to some other guys come in to try this Million Dollar Challenge. At least I don't know if that's what IndyCar is going for, but I think that'd be something, you know, definitely look out for. And then after that, we have to wait pretty much an entire month to April 21st before we go back racing the Streets of Long Beach. And then April 28th, we have Barber Motorsports Park. Now, missing from that April schedule is Texas. Texas Motor Speedway is not on the schedule this year. We did get it replaced by another oval, but I think with the way they were racing at Texas these last 2 years, Texas not being on the schedule is a super, super, super disappointing thing for the series.
Much agreed.
Then we have May. You have the road course race May 11th and the Indianapolis, the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500 on May 26th. I'll fast forward to June. We'll have the Streets of Detroit race the 2nd, or the Street of Detroit race June 2nd. Then Road America will be June 9th. Then June 23rd will be the WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Laguna Seca moves up on the schedule. Should be nice to see that one in the middle of June. And then in July, we have Mid-Ohio. Then we have, that will be August, or July 7th, excuse me. And then both Iowa races are the 13th and 14th this year of July. And the Streets of Toronto will be July 21st. In August, we have the Worldwide Technology Raceway from Gateway. And then the 25th, we have a race at Portland. And August 31st and September 1st, we have the Milwaukee Mile race 1 and 2. So, again, it's great to get back to Milwaukee. IndyCar fans?
I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm worried about with this whole thing is IndyCar fans, we have to start showing up for
races. They have to show up. They have to. Was that the deal with Texas Motor Speedway? Was that why they took it off the counter? Because
I'm sure it was
up.
One of the reasons. Plus, it is something they get it scheduled in. But
because
I'm sure,
of NASCAR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. Fans need to start showing up for these races, especially if you want to keep Milwaukee
on the
schedule.
If we want to keep oval races on the calendar for the IndyCar series.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, the Indianapolis 500 is not going anywhere. That is the
pinnacle.
The greatest spectacle in racing. That is the greatest spectacle in racing and the highlight of the IndyCar series calendar, that race itself, which that is not going anywhere. But, I mean, you could have that race. I mean, we have to have more ovals we have to have more ovals than the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So,
yeah, it makes it easier
because Garrett, for us NASCAR guys. Yeah,
because
Garrett, the Indianapolis 500 will never go away.
Right.
So it's just unfortunate that, you know, Texas loses their race in the IndyCar series, but you're also adding one of the track that is older than Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Not a lot of you know this, that Milwaukee Mile is older than Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So
it broke ground a good,
like, 06?
I think it was even before that. I think it was late 1800 or late 18th century, because I think it was like maybe 1893 or something. I looked it up last week. I thought you may be right now. I'm thinking about it again, Landon, but I thought it was, for some reason, it was, or at least it broke ground.
Yeah.
Then.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't much in the automobiles in the 18th century.
late 1800s. I
don't know why they did it like that, but 1800s.
He's got you. But I hope that the Milwaukee Mile, you know, really has a big turnout. I mean, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series had a great race there this season. It was very competitive. And now you imagine you have Indy cars going over 200 miles an hour.
1899 at Road Ground. 124 years ago.
Yeah, so two historic racetracks on the IndyCar schedule. It's unbelievable. I'm happy. I'm glad it's back. Unfortunately, you do lose the race at Texas Motor Speedway, which that track, last season's race was absolutely amazing. That racing was incredible and crazy. Joseph Newgarden picking up his first win of the season and going to win three other races that season. But, Garrett, what are your expectations for the race at Milwaukee?
I think it should be solid. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be as good as Texas, but I hope it's, you know, right on par with Texas. And then I actually had one more race that I forgot to go over. And the finale moves. The finale will be September 15th, and it will be the Streets of Nashville race.
Yeah,
and
they're also racing. Broadway and Nashville as well. They're going to be racing. It's going to be a street circuit, so should be really exciting there. Are they still going over the bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, yeah. cool,
Cool. Yeah, they will be. And again, I think this moving it back to the finale and making it a bigger deal.
Because it's really
awesome.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, IndyCar and Tennessee, and especially it's become really popular down south as well. It's become real popular. It's just great to see that, you know, there's more fans that are passionate about IndyCar, and it's just, I mean, especially in Tennessee, because it's just like, you know, before it's like, okay, football and I'm trying to think what else in Tennessee that
volunteers, football.
Volunteer, yeah, and then now it's IndyCar. You have an IndyCar race. So, and also, I mean, NASCAR had a history there at one point. Now they're back racing at Nashville Super Speedway, and they're trying to get the fairgrounds open back up. Superstar Racing Experience went back to Nashville to race at the fairgrounds a few years ago. So a lot of racing history returning to Tennessee and the area of Nashville. It's just great
always
to see.
Always good to see. Always good to see.
Yeah. So you guys have any last remarks for the show, guys? Anything else you guys want to say?
I'm good.
Jeremiah, anything else?
Just one last go back to Talladega with the fuel spill in the middle of the pits. That was not safe.
Yeah, so everyone that was, please.
I don't even know how that happened.
Everyone be safe, please.
Yes,
everyone,
please be safe.
Look out for your pit crew. Zane Smith's tire carrier had to like jump over his truck, mm-hmm. which that was pretty crazy. And
it's been a week for
and you think
the safety
and you
crew.
Think that Talladega was chaotic as well. Charlotte Roval is going to be chaotic as well. Maybe not the same level as Talladega. Yeah. Talladega is like
just
10
on a different
just
type
like a
of
different,
chaos.
Different type of chaos. Like, I mean, multiple cars will run into the tire barrier trying to get into turn number one. So
on the plus side, this is kind of what makes NASCAR fun.
Yeah,
some of the chaos.
Chaos. Yeah.
As long as it's controlled.
Controlled chaos.
And
yeah.
nobody gets
hurt. Yeah.
Severely hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
Now it's funny
I
to see
agree.
Someone bonk their head on something, as long as they're not hurt. Afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I'd also like to say that I'm happy the Milwaukee Mile is back on the IndyCar Series calendar. I'm so pumped. Unfortunately, you know, I think we'll all be in college, so we won't be able to go check that out.
If I get an opportunity.
Hey, dude, if we get opportunities, then, I mean, I'll definitely have to go check it out.
We'll probably check it out, just unfortunately not.
Not right now. Not right now. Maybe later into our lives, and maybe. But I definitely like to go check out a race at Milwaukee. It's just great to have an historic track back. You know, haven't raced here in a few years. It's just going to be amazing. You know, last winter was Sebastian Bourdais back in like, I don't even remember what year was that, Garrett? Like 2015. Yeah,
15,
so it's been
14,
a few years.
15.
Yeah, it's been a few years. So, yeah. Well, we're gonna hit that outro real quick. Just want to thank Jeremiah and Garrett for their time on this episode and the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. Couldn't do the show without them, but we're going to get this outro going. Here we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are already not listening to All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show and you are a big race fan, what are you doing? Set an alarm on your phone. Get up. Get going. Turn to Giant 90.9 on your radio dial and listen to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. For your host, Jeremiah Penrod, Garrett Burkle, I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Everyone be safe. Indianapolis. We'll catch you later. Peace out.